The scripture for this morning comes from the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Thus reads the word. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and his sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Blessed God, again we give you thanks for your word, Lord, and we pray that you continue to open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to you, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, that we may hear what you have to say to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, for we need to hear your word this morning. Speak to your church here, gather, Lord, and speak to me, for we all need to hear your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, we have been, we started watching last week the video of the Donovan family saga. It is a wonderful story of a family like any other family in any place in the U.S. And for that matter, maybe any family anywhere in the world. A family with their challenges and their difficulties, but a family that has decided to follow Jesus. And because of that, of course, we have been seeing how God has been working in their lives and how their lives have been transformed by God's presence in their lives as they have sought to be obedient to what God wants in their lives. Last week we talked about promises and we talked about trusting in God's promises. Amen. And we talked that, you know, if we want to live in God's promises, we need to trust that what God is promising to us is true. Because we cannot live in God's promises unless we trust Him. Today's story is about what we want to leave behind. Do we want to have a legend? Do we want to build our own legend and to live out our legend? Or do we want to leave a legacy? And so today we'll be watching a segment of the video that then leads us into that place. So let's watch.
Bottom line is, this doesn't reflect well on the company.
Which is why we're reviewing our training materials and adding new oversight protocols to make sure nothing like this happens again.
The problem is more significant than that, Frank.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Let's all just take a deep breath here. Frank, explain why you haven't just cut Jimmy Gillespie loose.
For the same reason that I shouldn't be asked to resign. It serves no purpose beyond theater.
It seems to me that there's a real benefit to convincing the government that we're committed to fixing our mistakes. If not for our exposure on this one, then on the next contract that we bid. And isn't the best way to do that to remove the ones responsible?
We just can't put our heads in the sand and pretend like there aren't any consequences to this sort of thing.
So if I don't fire Jim, you're going to ask me to resign?
There's a lot of money at stake here. And honestly, we can all be liable as directors if the government decides to prosecute this.
Hey, Jack. Tell Ray I picked up the shirts for the other kids at the community center, okay?
Oh, no problem.
Thanks. Hey, Naomi, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to leave so early yesterday. Was everything okay?
Is Ray here?
No, I'm sorry. He's out running errands. Can I take a message for him?
Yeah. Can you tell him his daughter came by?
They want you to resign?
Daughter?
How could they ask you to do that? Do they all feel that way?
It's hard to tell. But the alternative is firing someone who doesn't deserve it.
Are you gonna do it?
Which one? You know what Lance said yesterday?
What?
He found out about the Volunteer of the Year award and keeps talking about the legend of Frank Donovan. The legend of Frank Donovan grows larger every day. We don't do this stuff for our legend, do we?
All I know is that a lot of good comes from our support. The community center is flourishing, and there's a lot of kids that are going to benefit from the new mentor program.
That's what I'm talking about. What happens if we can't keep supporting them? It's not a selfish way to think, is it? So wait, Ray has a daughter.
Wow. I know I speak for all of us when I say how excited we are to share in this new adoption with you guys.
We all pitched in and got you a memory book.
Oh.
Because trust me, sweetie, you're not going to get enough sleep to remember anything on your own.
Well, thank you all so much for everything you've done. I don't know how we could have done this without you. I can't believe we get to bring her home next week.
Speaking of homes, Ray, Chuck and I are bringing my truck over on Saturday to help with the big move, right?
Hey, aren't you forgetting someone?
Thomas, how exactly are you going to help move furniture into a home you've never set foot in before?
I am a fantastic delegator.
Just let us know when you need us, okay?
What's wrong, Ray?
Yeah, Ray. Something you want to tell us?
What's going on, you two?
This morning I found a bunch of old trophies in the garbage can outside the new house. I don't know exactly who put them there, previous owners, I guess. But for some reason, I haven't been able to stop thinking about them. Don't build up treasures for yourself on earth. Build up treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart be also. All the glory and adoration that must have gone into those trophies, now they're laying in a trash can with the rest of the garbage. My daughter came to look for me at seed time today.
You have a daughter?
Naomi went to live with my sister when she was 10. And I was drinking, jobless, about to be homeless. I wasn't the father she needed me to be. It wasn't until years later, before I was sober enough to even consider trying to reach out to her again. How do you explain to your baby girl that...
Why didn't you tell us about her?
You guys have been the best friends I could ever imagine. You gave me something no one else was willing to give me. You gave me respect. And I was too ashamed to admit what a failure I was. I felt like you had given me a trophy for best dad. I didn't want to lose that. But instead, I lost my daughter, my legacy.
Legend versus legacy. This thing at work has got me thinking some of the things that I'm doing are just to live up to some legend. I'm sorry, Gray, if we created a legend you felt like you had to live up to.
Gray, Naomi came to the store today for a reason. I think you should talk to her. You've been there for all of us too many times to count. What if I give her a call for you and feel things out?
Okay.
Okay. Now we have even more to celebrate. He's in the mood for some cake. I'll bring you a piece.
Legend versus legacy. I like that.
That one's free. Well, I want credit when you get famous. Come on, let's get some cake.
Amen. Amen. Legend versus legacy. In the reading we did this morning from Philippians, Paul speaks to us about the importance that Christ has in his life. But not just the importance that Christ has in his life, but the fact that Christ, for him, is central to his being, to who he is. In the story we read, we heard from Ray and Mr. Donovan, we find them at a very interesting place in the journey. Sometimes we are so caught up into our own legends that we forgot about what is our legacy. I want you to hear something from Paul that was not part of the reading we did earlier, but I think it's important that we find some of what Paul says about himself, because I think it makes a point about what then we read earlier. This is in the few verses above what we read, the same chapter. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Sounds like a legend, right? I have more, says Paul. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul sort of gives us his pedigree, his legendary achievements. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Paul is such a figure in Jewish society that he is, of course, somebody who most likely was envied by most, for he had an incredible pedigree. His teacher was a person who was indeed somebody of great renown in his time. He was somebody who kept the law and observed the law to its maximum potential. He wanted to be such a great observant of the law that he even persecuted the church when he found out that these group of people who were also Jewish were trying to do something different, were looking at some way different of seeing the importance of the law And so Paul became a persecutor of the church, of that faith community that now he has become a preacher for. He speaks to us about his experience as a man who is of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, for, you know, many of us, that might not mean much. But he's trying to just help us locate him in the context of a Jewish society where to be from this place is of high importance. After all, it's a tribe from which the first king of Israel comes from. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews, somebody who was born to two Hebrew parents, a true Jew. And of course, and on top of that, became a Pharisee, right? So we have in Paul then someone who gives us his pedigree, tells us what he has been able to accomplish with his life before becoming a follower of Jesus. Someone who understood what it meant to be a good Jew. From all intents and purposes, somebody who observed the law and kept the law and believed that what he was doing was the right thing. And so he believed that, and so he just went at it drastically, dramatically, to add to that. Because he then, not only that he believed, he also went out to persecute those who did not believe like he did. Amen? So if you did not agree with him, and this is, remember that when we talk about Paul going out to persecute the church, we are not talking about Paul going and persecuting people like us, meaning Gentiles, right? No, he's persecuting people who are from his own religious background. So he's persecuting other Jews, right? But they did not believe like he did. And so for him, they were so completely out of bounds with that true faith that he went out to persecute them. So for all intents and purposes, again, this guy has the highest honors. He believed so strongly in what he believed that he went out to persecute even those who within his own community did not agree with him. That's his great commitment. So from this perspective, this man was legendary. He was willing to kill for his faith, and he was willing to do whatever it takes for his faith. But he met Christ. And that coming together to meet Jesus meant something special for this man who now is no longer going to be living the same way. And now we hear this. Paul tells us all that stuff that made me important in the eyes of the world, the eyes of my community, all that stuff that made me somebody relevant in the eyes of my community, it gave him prestige, it gave him a high standing in Jewish society, especially because, again, he was such an observant of the law, that he felt he had a great place and position in Jewish society. But he met Christ, and something happened. Amen? Something happened. And then he comes to this place and this passage in chapter 3 of Philippians, and he uses an expression that is the only place in the whole New Testament that this word is used. And that is the word that is translated here as refuse. The little bit older versions actually use a little bit more difficult word for our ears today. For, you know, it will be something like manure, but think worst, that kind of thing. So Paul says, all that stuff that I was, all the things that I have been able to achieve, all the things that I had achieved that gave me a place in Jewish society, I have come to see that as manure. Now, you know, of course, today we use different words for that, but we will not use that here. We will be kind. Amen. But you're getting the point, right? So for Paul, all that stuff became trash. Something that was not important to him, something that was not relevant to him, because he found something more important, something more of more value. And that was, he found the Messiah. Now, important to also highlight, because, you know, by finding the Messiah, and I'm saying he found something more important, and so some people will say, well, you know, at least he had something was a greater value. But you need to realize, remember what happened to Paul, right? Because it was not simply a matter that Paul just found something of more value, and then he went on to live a better life, right? Like we think that this is what it means to follow Jesus. I found Jesus, and from now on, my life is going to be better in every way and aspect. Amen? But Paul says, his example is to show us that no, that's not what had happened, right? Because, you know, right after he took on Jesus' mantle, persecution then happened to him. So many times we find that when we actually want to follow Jesus, we actually are going to be targets for persecution. We're going to be targets for people not liking us because we want to be faithful to what Jesus is calling us to do. Paul experienced that too. But even though he experienced persecution, even though he experienced the pain and suffering that came from being somebody who was an alien in his own community, he said, but I have found the Messiah. And this is of greater value than anything else. And so he will be spending the rest of his life teaching and preaching and forming faith communities all over the ancient world. He will be going from one place to the other. He will be traveling his entire, for the rest of his life, preaching and teaching, forming communities of believers that will be coming to live this faith and this Jesus about to live a different life. How to live that life the way that Jesus wants us to live our lives. So he will spend the rest of his life doing that. And of course, the last thing that happened to Paul, as we hear and we read in history, is that he was also executed because of his faith, because of his following this dude, Jesus, that for all intents and purposes seems to be a problem if you want to follow this guy. Now, we have come to the point in our history that is not an issue anymore to follow Jesus. We sort of have a good sense that following Jesus is okay. Now, we have people in the church who are persecuted in many places around the world, and we have many people around in our own country who are persecuted, not because they preach Jesus, but because they live the way that Jesus wants us to live. And so they challenge the powers and they challenge the culture in which we live because they want us to live the way that Jesus wants us to live. Now, we talked about that before. Today, I want you to focus on something else. As we talk about this, Paul and his experience, we come to the story that we find here with the Donovan family, right? And we find that there is this tension that we're experiencing, that Frank is experiencing, and also now we find in Ray, both experiencing this tension, Ray because of his daughter and his past, and now, of course, as he says, you know, you all thought that I'm, you know, this wonderful guy who have it all together, and now you know that I am not. Amen? And Ray says, you know, I didn't want to lose your sense of who I was. Because, you know, I've been the one who's been teaching, I've been the one helping, and all of a sudden, you know, you just now find out that I'm not that guy, that I also make mistakes. Amen? And sometimes we somewhat feel that we need to do the same thing, that we have to present ourselves in a certain way because, you know, after all, you know, we're supposed to be the example. We're supposed to be, you know, all to everyone. We have to be the ones who model for everyone. And we forget that, you know, it is not about your legend. It's not about my legend. It's not about what am I going to leave behind as my legend, meaning, you know, am I going to get the plaque in the church? Am I going to get, you know, the recognition that we'll have a sign in the church that says, oh, Pastor Eliezer was here? You know what I mean? The point being is, and this is something that we as leaders, as people have been called by God to be in leadership as God's people, is how are we helping others to meet Christ? How are we helping others to make a connection with the living God? What are we leaving behind? It's not so much it's not so important as what our legend is going to be, as much as what is our impact on somebody else's life. How are you touching lives and making an impact in their lives so that they will also come to encounter this Jesus that you have encountered? How are you going to do that? Most of you probably have heard the or watched. Oops, sorry. I got off a moment. You probably have watched the movie of Holland's Opus. Opus, right? Holland's Opus with Richard Dreyfuss. Anybody have seen that movie? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Some people who watch movies like I do. Did you watch that movie? Okay. See, Pastor too. She's with me on that. So in this story, probably you remember the story, but this we'll close with this. This story, we have this wonderful story that is presented to us. And in the movie, we have Holland's come to this school, in this town in middle America. He wants to be the great musician. He wants to be the classical musician. He is dreaming about, he has a dream that he's going to be the guy who's going to make it in the world as a great classical musician. But in the meantime, he can't, you know, he's not able to do that. So he, you know, gets married, starts a family. So he needs what? The bell. No, he doesn't need the bell. But so he needs a job, right? Like, you know, most of us do. We need a job. So he finds a job as a teacher in a public school. He starts teaching music in school. And so he's not a happy camper because, you know, that's not what he wants to do. He wants to become the great classical musician. He wants to build his legend. But he could not. So instead, he has to stay in the school. And interestingly enough, he spends his life basically in that school for 30 years. For 30 plus years, he spent his time teaching in this school. At the end of 30 years or plus, they decided the school needs to cut funding. And of course, the places where usually funding is cut in public schools happen to be in the arts, right? Anybody knows about that? Some of us do, right? So what happened with this man is they try to keep the job open and try to keep the position going in school. Didn't happen. So he has to go. So, you know, at least, you know, 30 years later, he's able to retire. But it was not what he wanted. He wanted to stay because he wanted to keep teaching young men and women. At the end in the story, we find him packing up his stuff in his classroom. It's the summer. He's packing up. And his wife and child have come to help him out and to take him off and to take him back home. And all of a sudden, he hears this noise taking place in the school. And so he follows the noise, and he goes to the gym in the school, and he finds the gym is full of people. Who are there, and when he opens the door, they, of course, scream his name out, Mr. Holland. And they have come to celebrate his work in that school. As part of the story is that the governor of the state came to this event. And interestingly enough, she came to the event because she was one of the first students he taught when he started school. And now she is the governor of the state. She talks about her experience, how this guy made a difference in her life, how by being able to meet him, she was able to become who she is then, the governor of the state. And she said some words to the man into the audience, but directed at Mr. Holland. He says to Mr. Holland, "Mr. Holland, we are your opus. We are your music, the music you wanted to create for the world. We are." That is his legacy. That is what he's leaving behind. He's leaving behind lives that he has touched with his work, with his ministry. That is what God is calling you and I to do. As people of faith who have been called to be leaders in the world, not just in the church, but leaders in the world that we live in, we have been called to be leaders who point people to Jesus. We have been called to be leaders who point people to the kingdom of God, to what God wants the world to be like. You and I, that ought to be our legacy. Would you pray with me as we have the folks from JL come and send us off in music? Loving and blessed God, we give you thanks for your mercy, Lord. We give you thanks, O God, for you are indeed present in our lives, O Lord, in many ways. We pray, Lord, that as Paul was willing to let go of the things he thought were important to him, Lord, that you also help us, Lord, to let go of the things we believe are important for our lives, but that do not bring glory and honor to you. We pray, Lord, that you help us and lead us, Lord, so that we may be indeed become the people who might live our legacies in this world, that we might show to the world, Lord, that which you want for the world, Lord. Help us, O God, by leading us, by guiding us, Lord. Help us to share your good news with the world. Loving God, we pray to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.